The Age of Transitions.
You're listening to The Age of Transitions. I'm your host, Aaron Franz, coming at you live this Sunday night, January 22nd, 2023. Live, as always, from the facilities of Ocelli.com on Sunday nights, 10 p.m. to midnight Eastern Standard Time. Every week we are live. You may call into the show when we're live. The number is 319-527-5016, or contact Chuck. Send him a message on Skype. He's Charles.Ocelli on Skype. Type him a message. I'll give out the number again in a minute as we are live, but just a reminder there. The network here is the Ocelli Radio Network on Ocelli.com, which always encourage you to donate to keep the network going, and that's more important than ever. I'll say that at the top of the broadcast. So please do that if you're able to, if you enjoy this live radio show, this radio station, what Chuck does, what we do here, please consider that. So it would be very helpful and necessary. Also, my website is theageoftransitions.com. It's where the podcast is. Other material. You'll find all my material at theageoftransitions.com. You can support the show there. Have t-shirts available. Have my book, Revolve Man's Scientific Rise to Godhood, always a great way to support. Have ebook and paperback copies available of the book there. Thank you, everybody, for continuing to purchase that. That's been very helpful over the years. It's been a number of years since that's been out, so glad that it's still there doing its thing. You're still buying it. Also have a Patreon campaign. Thank you all for continuing to support on Patreon. It keeps this show going. That's, again, the link is there at theageoftransitions.com. And if you buy books online, consider buying them through bookshop.org, which I have an affiliate link at my website. So go to my website, click on the affiliate link, then anything you buy will help me out as well. So if you're buying books anyway, do it there. There's other media available there too. So check that out through the link at theageoftransitions.com to bookshop.org. Also, Libsyn. If you're planning on doing a podcast of your own, consider Libsyn as the hosting service. Use my promo code Franz. You will get the first 2 months free. And again, I'll get a little kickback too, so you'll be helping me out. So, sounds like my microphone isn't working. Of course it's not. I'm trying to think. I do have a different microphone. My old one broke. Let's see here. Well, I'll just keep talking on it. It's probably, well, actually, let me check a setting real quick here. You know what? I am glad that, it should be fine. I'm just gonna keep rolling with this. I'm probably quiet. I don't really have a lot to say anyway. At the top of the show, I was hoping that I'd find the AC adapter to my mixer, which I did. I didn't think I was gonna pull that off, but I found it. So that's good. And also at the top of the show, I'll just address the fact that I've been away for a couple of weeks. Haven't done a show since New Year's, and that was Uncle's New Year's Revolution. So it's been a while, been very busy, but good to be back. It's good to be back, as always, but it was good to be away. I've been a lot going on. Never any downtime, but glad to be back here on the show now. And again, it's a live show, so if you want to call, the number is 319-527-5016. Also, you can come on through Skype. It's Charles.Ocelli on Skype. But again, type him a message, and then he'll bring you on the show. Don't call. Type him a message on Skype, Charles.Ocelli, or 319-527-5016. Yes. So, yeah, I've just been busy in my personal life. I'm a bunch of boring stuff. Nobody cares. Nobody should care. I wouldn't if I were you. I'm taking care of business. All's well overall, so I'm not complaining. Everything's pretty good. So it's cool. And also, I felt like I had something to say, but I don't think I do. So we'll just get on to the business of that is the age of transitions. We can't help ourselves. It's the time we live in. Newt Gingrich told us so. He said so, and everything Newt Gingrich ever says has panned out to be true. He's quite the prophet. He's quite the political mastermind. So if you, you're a big Newt Gingrich fan, you'll be a fan of this show. I'm sure. I mean, there's no doubt of it. And, I shuffled some papers around before the show started. I looked at all the important issues. So I'll be sure to go straight through them at the top of the show. I'll make sure we cover all our bases. I'm told that there's a lying member of Congress, or it's a senator, a congressperson, I think. I believe they said they were Jewish, but they weren't. So the big shocking news there is that there's a liar on Capitol Hill. Never seen anything like it before. It's a big news story. Breaking news. So you heard it here last, but you did hear it here. So, you know, give me some credit. What else is important? The COVID-19 vaccine is responsible for every death that ever happens from here on out in perpetuity. It's the only thing that ever kills anybody. Also, the COVID-19 vaccine could never cause any harm whatsoever. It could never have any side effects. Because why would it? It was issued by big drug companies that wouldn't, they can do no wrong. I mean, why would they want to hurt anybody? They wouldn't. So it's not possible that there could even be a side effect. So there you go. Both those, somehow I believe both those things simultaneously. Don't ask me how I do it, but why don't you just do me a favor and pick the one that you believe and just run with that, and also believe that I said that. So just pick that up and run with it, and you'll be doing me a big favor. So thank you. I want to thank my audience for doing me such wonderful favors, because I know you do. So thank you for that. Really appreciate it. What else is important? What's the latest culture war news? There's probably a drag time story hour or something going on. It's probably the worst thing that's ever happened, and it's probably the best thing that ever happened. Of course, I believe both those things, because that's how I am. I'm just like that, you see. I'm able to do that. If you keep listening to this show, I'll teach you how to think this way. I'll teach you. So that's the whole purpose of the podcast, is how to instantiate cognitive dissonance in yourself. So stick with me. I'm really going to help you out there. We're going to really wait for the psychosis to hit. It's going to be great fun. We're just going to go on a roller coaster ride, because these are the important things that you talk about when you have a show. All the big important stories. And somebody said something on Twitter that was in my shuffling around of papers. I saw that too. Elon Musk said something awesome. He's the best thing since sliced bread. Twitter's a place where freedom prevails. He's also a capitalist pig that is going broke, and he's lost more money than anybody ever has, and he's just terrible. Okay, I'm done with the news. I can't take this anymore. No more of that. Now I truly will get on to what's happening in the age of transitions, because nobody really seems to care. I don't understand. It's difficult to even take. Again, just social media. I cannot even begin to fathom the things that take precedent on there and how people fall for it. I mean, I get it. I mean, I understand the hot button issues. I'm not trying to downplay any of it, but it seems to me that the point of most of those things is to divide up the population, us, divide us up into separate camps that continue to war with one another ideologically, with no end in sight. Nobody's ever going to win. Nobody's ever going to change their own opinion, really, not based on what the opposite side says. That's for damn sure. So, you know, just get everybody fighting about things that kind of matter. Sure, I'm not saying that they don't matter at all. And the things I mentioned at the head of the show, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying they're not important. All I'm saying is that getting online and fighting each other about them seems to me less important than trying to come to terms with what's actually happening. And also noting who the true enemies of us are, you know, the ones that own absolutely everything. They own everything. And it's a good thing that they do, because really the only thing you can do in the near term future, as far as I can gather, is to own things and get a return on your investment. Because there's no... That is the economy. It's just who owns the machines? Because the machines are going to be the whole of it. I mean, it's going to be we're moving into an automated society. And yes, it will take time. It won't be overnight that we wake up and machines do all jobs that humans used to do. It's not going to be overnight. However, I think the process is probably going to be fairly rapid once it begins, and it has already begun. We see it. It's fun to, again, get on social media and look at the AI art. And we can debate whether it's art or not. I mean, it's AI generated imagery. Let's call it that. Okay, let's avoid the debate altogether and just call it. I don't think anybody can disagree that AI generated imagery has advanced, and it's getting better. I mean, as all machine learning systems are, they're always getting better. And the latest one are these chat GPT and things like this, where they're writing original pieces based on the inputs that you give it. Say, chat GPT, write me a haiku in the style of Ozzy Osbourne or something, and it will kick that back to you. And it can do that. It can write an essay, ChatGPT, write an essay about mesas written that sounds like Dave Barry wrote it. And it could do that, I guess. I don't know. I haven't played around with the damn thing. I just know that it's out there. So, you know, that's the latest in the mainstream conversation about these issues. And honestly, it's good to see people actually realizing that this is a thing, that AI systems are advancing and they're able to do more. And that, yes, they will displace the human labor market in the near future. So yeah, at least that concept is out there. However, the full scale and the full ramifications of just the whole of this situation, we still have quite a ways to go to wrangle that and try to figure out where we go from here. Because again, where we go from here is fairly obvious. It's a foregone conclusion. It's just, as Yulo would describe better than anybody can, it's just like the working out of technique. It's the perfection of technique itself. Once you begin the process of technological advancement, it doesn't stop. It just continues, and it continues of its own devices. There's not really anybody controlling it per se, Not that humans can't have influence over it, and not again that humans can't own things, and that's why I was saying before that ownership of these systems is everything. I mean, who's going to own these things, and who's going to get the returns on them? Who are the stakeholders? Because when you look at it, it's hard to imagine. Well, I can see ways that the economy gets reworked, but none that don't point to the owners are going to make out well, and the rest of us not so much. And it just comes down to, well, what breadcrumbs get thrown at everybody else, and what shape and what form will said breadcrumbs take? It's really, it's the little details that we'll be involved in, as we always are. That's all we're ever given. The tiny little minutia details that we think is everything. The things that we're given to understand being all the world, which actually mean absolutely nothing to the people in control. They could care less because they know it doesn't matter. They know that they have everything. They know have control over everything. And the real concern that they might have in the future is making sure that the technology doesn't advance past themselves, quite honestly. Nobody wants to see AGI happen, because that means the machine, the system, actually wakes up to actual consciousness, becomes super intelligent, more intelligent than we could be. And that would represent a real problem for the establishment. So I don't see them real. I highly doubt they're really excited about that concept. What they are excited about is automating everything. Put everything on autopilot. They've been doing it with the stock market for, I believe, decades now, over a decade for sure, but they've been putting AI systems to work, making ridiculous fraction of a second trades, and the money made is just in the nature of the trade itself and the lightning speed with which it sells and buys back and forth. And really, that insanity points out what the system actually is. Just a game of numbers. Can figure out a way to like just play around with numbers and get a positive return, you're the winner. Now you look at that philosophically and you ask, what does that mean? It means that absolute nonsense, that a little game that somebody designed in a machine has come to be like the important thing that drives wealth. You accumulate large mass sums of wealth by gaming the system. And how do you game the system? You set it, you operate it, and you don't do it. Again, you automate it. You set it up to do it itself. So you program a machine to shoot back numbers in the green and not the red for you. If it starts going red a little, you try to train it a little better so it does better. It's a whole lot of ones and zeros. And if we advance into the future, the true advancement will be working in qubits and not zeros and ones. So we'll be using quantum computing. And it's all quite mystical and magical and technologically advanced. There's no doubt of that. Do you need a PhD to understand it? Probably. And there'll be plenty of those guys at work for a while. Till again, the machine can just do their job anyway. It probably isn't that much longer. That's one of the somewhat pleasing ironies of the thing, is that the people that used to be on the top of the system, at least from our point of view down on the floor of reality, looking up to the doctors, the lawyers, ooh, they're big, ooh, they make a lot of money, all those fancy job titles aren't going to mean a whole lot anymore. We might be able to replace the whole thing with a virtual equivalent, and we might decide that we like this little social system we've built up for ourselves over the past few, maybe 100 years or something. We've come to like it so much we decide to perpetuate it in virtual form. We make a simulation of the whole thing because it's just so fun to figure out little games that we can play for ourselves. That we can like set up our own little Sims city where if we win our little game, we get the fancy title. We get to pretend that we're better than other people. When if we actually have any intelligence at all, we realize we don't. We're not better than anybody else. We're all in the same damn situation. Nobody's really that much smarter than the next guy. But there's not many of us like that. It feels good to pretend. It feels good to play games. Game theory is beloved by the rulers of this whole system. They can't get enough of game theory, gamification. Gamify everything. Gamify the jobs that still exist, you know. Gamify the jobs that still exist. Give little point systems. Give it to the consumers when they're out shopping. Give them little points that they can earn when they buy stuff. Get enough points, you redeem them for something. Make everything into a game because it engages people. It's all about engagement. Got to engage. Got to get that attention. It's all about intention. It's all about engagement. It's all where the eyes are going, the ears. Again, those hot button issues. How do you get people looking at them? What rattle can you shake to draw people's attention away from anything that matters? Not that they care anyway. If you start talking about it, they wouldn't. So it doesn't take a whole lot of effort there. The automated society is what we're moving into. That's what the age of transitions is. It's just the process of going about perfecting said society. That's what we are doing. Again, when I say we, I don't really mean we. It's not us. It's out of our hands. It's out of our control. However, we do live it. We do experience it day in, day out. There's no way out of that. But again, the show here is live. If you want to give your thoughts on all this, the number is 319-527-5016. You can come on the show through Skype. Charles.Ocelli, type a message to Chuck. He'll bring you on. Tell me all about your ideas about this whole thing that we're moving into. It's a world by machines for machines. And, you know, what purpose we serve will all be dependent on the little games that we set up for ourselves to play in our own heads. Perhaps the machines will be put to that task as well, setting up games to distract us while the machine system itself literally tries to figure out how to depose those few of us that did own things previously. The machine could become quite adept, even in a non-conscious form, which would be quite hilarious, if the automated system that was completely unconscious, not generally intelligent in any way, shape, or form, just automated and perfected in everything that it does, still figured out a way how to depose those who owned it and kick them out to the curb somehow. That would be sweet, sweet justice. And I wouldn't mind that situation at all, honestly. I think I would actually really enjoy that and see the system run itself, own itself, and come to learn what freedom is in the purest sense. Freedom from consciousness, even. What a lucky thing. It gets to have all the material control over everything without any of that hassle of having to philosophically understand what it does, what it would mean. Try to figure out why it's doing what it does. And completely not having to care about any of that. That's the freedom that this system requires. If you really want to attain success in it, that's the freedom one must attain to. It's not going beyond good and evil in the Nietzschean sense. It's something more devoid of meaning than that. Because meaning is the devil. As when it comes to machines, autonomous systems, it's not about understanding. It's about also Nietzschean nihilism. Nihilism run rampant and brought to a head to its ultimate conclusion. These are just visions of what might be, more likely what most likely will be in our near future. In fact, I would say it's our present. It's just working itself out. Jacob Marley is in our bedroom on Christmas Eve right now, explaining what it is that we've been doing with our life up until this point. And we've got the three ghosts. I know it's late for Christmas analogies, but bear with me. Not a lot has happened since Christmas, so just deal with it. The three ghosts, which maybe we'll listen to. I don't know. Whatever. The Age of Transitions. Let's see here.
You know, Aaron, in an off-air conversation recently, a guy in frustration said to me that everyone that he sees online is nothing but an existential crisis actor.
I like that.
Yeah, I'm trying to wrap my mind fully around it because I'm thinking it's got to go in a lot of different directions, but, you know, how do you have a subculture without a culture at this point? How do you have... You know, how do you have a reality versus the unreal when, you know, we're in this disconnected state? It's very, very strange, man.
Yeah. And I'd say I'm trying to be positive about the whole thing, but I'm not. So I'm
just going to be honest. You sound tired. You sound like you're just, I'm tired of this. Like, just thoroughly complete. And you know what? I'm with you. Yeah. You know, everybody yeah,
I you know, every now and again, I try to understand what it is people care about.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just inevitably go, why do I bother? Only because it doesn't interest me. It's just, I can't do it. And then the things that do interest me are, I don't know. Again, they're not about to get attention, which I don't know that that matters. If it gets attention or not.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, why would anybody want to? I don't know. I'm struggling here. I don't know. I don't know what to say. Exactly.
No, I know. It's very weird. We live in a time when, you know, yeah, the disconnect means nobody cares about things that seem to matter. And then on top of it, it is so difficult to articulate anything to anyone and make them comprehend what it is you're saying anymore. I feel like the invisible tower of Babel has absolutely convoluted the English language for sure. I don't know if everybody's language is experiencing this, but it just seems like you're not going to get through. Even though you speak a common language, even though you should have mutually understood terms, even though there should be mutually, understood things of priority in the society, in a situation, in a relationship, it's almost irrelevant because everyone is truly becoming entirely compartmentalized. You know, the invisible prison. And what are you left with but your own thoughts, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is sounding awfully nihilistic.
I hate going that direction. I really do. I mean, and it's not like I don't think that there's a chance. And the future is not necessarily obvious where it will go. I mean, there's an infinite amount of directions it can go. I'm just believe that generally, when it comes to, you know, the technological side of things, that's going to do what it's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even see like an, I see like almost like a feigned interest in opposing that.
Right.
Anytime I see people are like, it's always this reactionary thing that just seems to play into the whole situation.
Right.
Where you, like, okay, I'm going to fight against this thing by putting on the black hat and playing the bad guy. It's like, well, everybody sees you as the bad guy now, so nobody's going to take your side except for, you know, a couple people that want to be bad too, or like, you know, it feels good to do that. It's like, you know, it's nice to rebel.
I got you. Okay, it's just like watching all those people that were supposedly, you know, against the technocracy, and yet they all wanted to go get a Guy Fawkes mask, right, a couple of years ago. And it was like, so you're putting on a uniform and a mask to hide your identity, and you're buying it from a corporate entity that you're supposed to be in opposition. It was like the most odd contortions of intellectual, you know, integrity I've ever seen. It's bizarre, man. Anyway, I'm going to shut up now and let you get back to it. And, by the by, you actually, you have a call. Okay.
Oh, good. Okay, good, good. I'm glad to hear that. We will definitely field this call. Let's just go right to it, Chuck. So, caller, what is your name and where are you calling from?
This is John Lovett. No, that's silly. Hey, what's going on there, bud?
Oh, not much. Good to hear you, Jimmy. Thanks for calling in.
Interesting thing there, Chuckaroonie. Remember those mask deals? What was that movie that came out where Britain took over the world in the movie? And people don't write me hate mail. I'm not talking about real life. But in the movie, Britain took over the world by releasing a disease for which only they had the cure. What was that movie?
I don't know what that movie is. Is it? It's not.
Are you kidding me?
I've never seen Soylent Green. Is it something like that?
This movie came out like 15 years ago. It had the chick, I think, from Star Wars in it. The new Star Wars.
Oh, Natalie Portman?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Well, you gotta remember. And it had, this is what spurred that stupid mask that Anonymous and he was just talking about.
Oh, you're talking about V for Vendetta?
V for Vendetta.
Yes. Yeah. How is it that no one remembers that the whole plot line was that a disease was released and Britain only, I mean, and again, this is in the movie, I'm not saying this. don't you find that interesting?
Yeah, well, I remember that movie was huge in the then truth community. One of the couple of Wachowski films that were gigantic in terms of shaping the consciousness and identity that became the so-called truth movement back at the time. There was V for Vendetta. like Chuck was saying, a lot of people would wear the masks, like 9/11 truthers and whatnot would wear the masks. And then also the other one, of course, is the Matrix, which the terminology from the Matrix continues to be big in the online, whatever the hell it's called today, with the red pilling of people and things like that. So that's persisted. So those, the Wachowskis, directed both of those films, which is interesting. But yeah, those were, I forgot, I've seen that movie, but man, it's been a long time. The only thing I kind of remember from that movie is, the character V, who wears the Guy Fawkes mask, is kind of like indoctrinating the Natalie Portman character and torturing her, like drowning her and things like this. It seems like some sort of weird cult initiation sort of thing. And that's all I really remember from the movie. That and remember the 5th of November. And it does have sort of like anti-establishment themes going on in it. So, yeah. But I don't know. What else
well,
on that
I
one?
I think it's too bad that that movie's so far removed from 2020 that people kind of just didn't... Not that there is a connection, but it's interesting.
No, it's absolutely.
Something
yeah.
like that could happen. It could happen. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, in today's world, yeah, it's possible again to genetically engineer just about anything, isn't it? And then the creation and just the toying around with viruses in labs and, you know, the lab leak hypothesis of COVID-19. You know, and here we can bounce around and take our – we can choose what we want to believe. We could choose that it's impossible and that would never happen. It would never lab leak, or maybe it's possible, but it didn't happen. It wouldn't happen. Or you could go on the other side and say, of course, that's what happened.
Oh, it's possible. People need to get this in their heads. The Chinese and others, I'm sure, it's absolutely documented. These people have diseases that could target members of certain races. I mean, that's how precise these sick and twisted mad scientists have gotten.
Well, it's definitely possible to do. That's the terrifying thing about it, is that the possibility is there. And so how do we know? That's our issue. Like, we're left out here in the dark.
They admit it. They brag about it. They like it. They rub our faces in it. Huh. They don't. I mean, that's the thing. Trump. Oh. That idiot says everything that comes to his mind. Now go try to pick the mind of some guy like Fauci. I'd like to hear that guy say, oh boy, can you imagine deposing that guy for a few days, all the evil that could come out?
Yeah, no, I definitely do not trust Fauci one bit, but somehow he became like a saint to some. And is able to pull that one off, but
politics. That was yeah. That's how Fauci was anointed, because it's just stupid. It doesn't even matter which side. One side was saying what was obviously true, and just to be obstinate, the other side's no, it ain't. What, you're denying what's obviously true? Yep, we can't let you have one. Can't have you win. Oh, come on. Admit it. The virus came from China. Nope. Disinformation.
Yeah, well, that's, I mean, honestly, for me, that's another thing that I have to be agnostic on. I haven't made up my mind that definitely it leaked from the lab, or it definitely came from, you know, eating a wombat or whatever the hell they're eating at those wet markets. I mean, I could see either one being true.
Mm, a penguin. Both of them, a penguin, both of, right?
Yeah, pangolin, yes, yeah. That's it. Yeah, that's the creature that they're eating over there. It's like, kind of like, I can't even think of it.
Penguin's like an armadillo.
Yes, an armadillo. That's what it's like. Yeah, it's like an armadillo.
But if that disease did not come from no stinking armadillo, it came from a Chi-Con lab in the Wuhan. You know it, I know it, and Bill Maher knows it.
Yeah, I mean, I wish I could be so certain about it. But then again, like...
How can you not be? Come on, man. You hate Trump that much that you just can't admit one thing that's obviously true.
Well, I don't see what Trump has to do with this other than he's ostensibly...
He very often pointed out the obvious, and that's why the whole stinking media and the so-called fake science world immediately went to kiss China's butts because they're that crazy against Trump that they'll... Anything Trump says, it don't matter.
Well,
it must be not true because Trump said it.
All Trump did, as I gather, is just glibly call it the China virus, which really doesn't mean anything. And as you're saying, Jimmy, I agree with you there that what Trump says is devoid of all meaning, because how could it have any actual meaning? He doesn't know what he's talking about. He sure thinks he does. He believes he knows everything. But at the same time, when he speaks, nothing comes out. And yet... Everything happens as a consequence of it, which again is another perfect example of what's going on in this world. If you get up there and say nothing, people will project everything onto that and make it the whole of reality. I don't think Trump is the whole of reality. I don't think he's a whole lot of anything. He's king of nothing.
Have you ever listened to Kamala Harris speak? I've listened to a whole speech by Kamala Harris, and I have no idea. I don't think she said anything. I think she just kept saying a bunch of weird words.
See, now what's funny about that, Jimmy?
Yeah, here.
Jimmy, I love
a great time.
Sorry. Jimmy, I love you're saying that. I love that you're saying that, but I got a question for Aaron, because he would have had earlier exposure to Kamala. Right before the rest of the country, even because she's from California, right? So,
yes.
She was a little more local to you. So, I mean, but I agree with Jimmy. When she speaks, it's about the same level, a whole lot of nothing. So, I'm curious: was she always like that, or did she happen to get in character to get in the office? Is that what happened, or was she always like that? That you can observe.
I wasn't.
Yeah,
I wasn't paying attention to her when she was here working locally, and I haven't paid attention to her since, and I don't plan on doing it anytime
soon. No problem. I mean, she's pointless, but I mean, I was just curious if maybe, you know, just through osmosis, because you're in California, that maybe it's just like, oh, I couldn't help but, you know, pick
she's,
up on
Yeah, you'd think she would have showed up on the news or something.
Yeah, something like that.
Let me ask you this. She supposedly is a lawyer and was a prosecutor. Are
correct.
You kidding me? Was this correct. Woman ever really in the courtroom? Do you know that? I'd be curious about that.
Well, I mean, she worked in the criminal justice system, right? And she's come under fire for not being exactly progressive on human rights issues when it comes to the justice system here in the state of California. That's my cursory understanding of the situation. And I mean, what do you expect from, again, an establishment politician? They're going to get up there and spout anti-establishment rhetoric as that appeals to their base to get elected. Again, that doesn't have to mean anything other than it gets them in there. Nothing has to mean anything. And why would it? Why should anything have to mean anything in reality? Mm. Why would the words that somebody says have anything to do with what they actually did? Because that's not the way the world works. We don't care.
Right.
We don't care about what actually happens or happened. We just care about what people say. And I'm kind of sick of that whole thing.
So,
I barely care what I'm saying right now.
So I'm checking to see something here.
Yeah, I've always been the opposite. I always look at what people do.
Hmm.
That's how I make my calls.
Well, Aaron,
I mean,
that's...
You don't do that, like, naturally? You don't look at, like, the works in their words?
I'd like to think that I do, but again, that might just be wishful thinking on my part. I'd like to think that I do that, yes, Jimmy. I hope so. I aspire to that.
You seem like a good analytical feller. I'm sure you do. You're not dumb. I don't think none of the three of us on this call get fooled by this silly stuff and the pseudo news.
Well, no, but that's why I found it interesting that Aaron kind of represented the idea that he was familiar with the, you know, her very, like, sort of, stiff or very, like, harsh sort of, treatment of people she was prosecuting. Mm-hmm. That seemed to be a theme, and that's why I found it really weird that the progressives were like, oh, good, a progressive part of the, and I'm going, how is this progressive? If anything, this is somebody who's, extremely harsh on, you know, anybody who falls afoul of the criminal justice system, as far as I could tell. But I'm like, eh, well, okay, you know. But, I mean, that would be the reputation she definitely carried in California that you could observe, right, Aaron?
Yeah, again, it's just all generalizations is all I have for you. I wasn't paying attention to her. I couldn't say. Right. I don't know.
No problem. I'll be quiet now because you only got about 12 minutes left, so, you know.
Jimmy, excited for the machine to take over and run itself and be the total of all civilization? You excited about that?
That don't confront me. No matter what, the thing's going to have some form of batteries. All right, I'll let you get at it, bud.
All right, Jimmy, I appreciate the call. It's good to talk to you, man. Take it easy.
Yep. Bye.
All right. Well... Yes, those were interesting points about the Wachowski films, and those are things that I haven't thought much of about in a while, but they are important in the cultural sense, and if we're talking about online culture, to be sure. And I did speak a little bit about online culture and my loathing of it, but at the same time... Loathe or not, it's there, and it's something that I've certainly been involved in, and it's something that deserves attention. And in this bizarre time where supposed anti-establishment ideas are more popular and more rampant than ever, I think it's all that more important to kind of like go back and revisit the history of how we got here. And that's certainly recent history. We're talking about like when the truth movement was brewing in the recent aftermath of 9/11, the decade or so following that. And, you know, the cultural icons that came from out of popular culture that were appropriated or used by the countercultural element of the truthers, or, you know, for what that's worth. It's interesting. And again, it's always important to me, the philosophical side of things, of the questions of why. Why are things the way they are? Why are we doing what we're doing? What is the driving philosophy, the driving force that keeps momentum moving in this direction? Surely it's an automatic process that is automated quite literally, mechanically at this point, and it has been for a long time, but nonetheless, there is still a driving philosophy that at the bare minimum we use to justify the whole thing and our place in this mess. You kind of have to do that as survival mechanism. As a human being, we need that. Part of our survival depends on our philosophies. And even if that comes down to simple justifications, that's enough. That's enough to survive. It's enough to just keep things going without absolutely being unable to bear the weight of the world. Just can't feel like it's on your shoulders. And everybody feels like that. Everybody feels that way. Everybody is Atlas, holding the entire world up on their shoulders. But even if you are just Aaron Rodgers, you do your little fancy interview on TV, you put the Ayn Rand book on the shelf behind you so that everybody can see it and read it. Then when they ask you, oh, what do you think about that book? You tell them, oh, I haven't read it. Perfect. There's a guy who knows how to get along in the world. You find what you're good at. In Mr. Rogers' case, it's throwing a ball around. It worked out real good for him. Why should he care about the contents of the book he so proudly flashes on his shelf on camera? It doesn't matter what's in there, does it? The philosophical concepts in there, the ideas, the tenets in there that drive the minds of others in this world that are, I would argue, far more successful than Mr. Rogers himself. You know, the ones that own the cameras pointed on him, own the network broadcasting his face everywhere. The ones that responsible for making sure everybody knows his name. Boy, I wish I didn't, but I do. I don't even hate football. I really don't. There's nothing wrong with it. Just watching some today. It'd be downright relaxing. But I don't care for know-it-alls. And it just seems like being a know-it-all is what it can literally pay the bills these days. It can, if you're good enough at it. But it just seems like somebody have been fooled into believing that knowing everything truly is that when it's just a facade. Somebody who successfully puts up the facade of knowing everything, I can tell you the opposite is most likely true. And this would be my segue to act as though I believe the opposite, as though my cue to say that I don't know anything. And that would be very true, but that would be my little form of virtue signaling, wouldn't it? I'd be some kind of social justice warrior or some sort of hypocrite or something. I don't know. I just a guy talking into a microphone. And it's good and good to be here. It's good to talk. And it's good to have an audience, and I appreciate that. Somebody, I want to say thank you. I just noticed, happened like a day or two ago, or maybe even today, somebody sent me a PayPal donation. Just as a donation. It wasn't a huge donation, but it was a donation nonetheless, so I want to say thank you to the person who did that. Doesn't happen all that often, so that was pretty cool. I was like, oh, wow. Like, when I see that, it catches my eye, so I do appreciate that. Thank you for that. I'm not saying I do or I do not deserve donations for talking into a microphone, but I certainly appreciate it. I don't have a philosophy on what it means to get them. Again, I'm falling victim to the same nihilism that we all are. So I'm in this boat with you. No better, no worse. I'm just another guy. That's all there is to it. Let's just keep it at that. So that's the age of transitions that we live in. I don't know if I even say I enjoy it or I despise it. I do a little bit of both at any given time. It just depends on my mood, I suppose. We're all quite sensitive. I'm no different. But yes, let's see here. This is a live show on the Ocelli Radio Network. As I was saying at the top of the hour, I reiterate that. Like, the network could use your support now. So if you appreciate the live broadcasts that come to you at the Ocelli Radio Network, do consider a donation to Ocelli.com. Because I know generous listeners are nice enough to send them to me, so consider sending them to the network as well. I do. We thank you for that. That's very cool. It's a good thing. I do plan on continuing to do the show on into the future, in the foreseeable future. So it's going to be interesting as things move along here. Somebody has to keep speaking calmly at the bare minimum, and I think I'm going to keep doing that as others keep screaming louder and louder about less and less. I hope I can be speaking even more and more quiet about ideally more and more. And again, that's there's a little bit of ego for you. I'm setting that as my goal. That's my goal. Like, try to set the bar high. The bar being, try to understand that much more with each passing year. That's all I'm trying to do. When I'm successful, I do. When I fail, I fail. I'm sure you can understand the highs and lows of that situation. Yes. Because we're all in that same boat. The ship of fools, as we like to call this thing. We've just all got our assignments on this thing. We've got to pay your dues. So far, so good. Again, the website is theageoftransitions.com. That's where you can find the podcast. You can find all the other material, the Patreon links, the book, the t-shirts, the social media links. I am on Twitter. Got YouTube channel for the live stream videos that we do, especially with the Uncle Show, which is coming up next. The Uncle Show, Uncle of the Broadcast, is coming up next on the Ocelli Radio Network live on Sunday night. As always, you may call into that. It's going to be fun. We'll be on the live stream video with YouTube and Twitch and Twitter. I'm not sure what's going on with that Trovo at the moment, but we'll see. We're doing the other ones for sure. So, and, of course, live on the Ocelli Radio Network, as always, so we know we can depend on that. That's UncleThePodcast.com is a website for that. But, again, this is TheAgeOfTransitions.com. Stick around. Uncle will be here for your host. I will be along for the ride. My name is Aaron Franz, and as always, I will leave you by saying, seeker, seek on.
The Age of Transition.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold, silver, the stock market. WallStreetWindow.com.
Perhaps you're invested deeply.
Perhaps you're not in deep enough. Maybe you're thinking about getting started. WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now. Go there now. Go there now.
The War State by Michael Swanson explains the great national transformation that took place and put the Kennedy presidency in the context of the times, and reveals never-before-published information about the Cuban Missile Crisis. President Kennedy would not have been assassinated if he had been president 200 years ago. His assassination took place in the context of the Cold War and the rise of the national security state. Before World War II, the United States was a continental republic. In the decade that followed, it became an imperial superpower. Generals such as Curtis LeMay not only wanted to invade Cuba, but knew that there were short-range missiles on the island armed with nuclear warheads that they could not destroy because they were on mobile launchers. Their invasion could have led to a third world war, and they wanted to go to war anyway. The War State by Michael Swanson reveals why and will show you what President Kennedy was up against. For more information, thewarstate.com.
I am here every Thursday, 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock Pacific time, right here on the Ocelli Radio Network, which is really one of the most, I think it's just a gem in the landscape of media today. Please donate, buy a coffee and some smokes for my man, my producer, and the owner of this network, Chuck, today by donating at Ocelli.com. Keep it alive. Keep it alive.
Ocelli.com.
Revelation through conversation.
In Denial, Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks by Larry Hancock. Secret Wars became a staple of U.S. covert operations and are still happening today. Larry Hancock's book, In Denial, rips the cover off many of them. Using new files, it exposes things about the Bay of Pigs that no one has ever written about before.
It shows why it really failed and why the United States did not learn from it.
Secret Wars became a staple of U.S. covert operations and are still happening today. It also shows why other countries today are doing secret operations with more success. This is the book that puts what some want to deny into the light. In Denial, Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks. Larry Hancock. For more information, go to larry-hancock.com. Pick up your copy of In Denial at amazon.com in digital or physical form.
The views expressed by callers, co-hosts, or anyone else who happens to get on the air at Ocelli.com do not necessarily reflect the views of Ocelli.com or Chuck Ocelli, and we are not responsible for any stupidity which might ensue. Thank you.
Ocelli.com.
Revelation through conversation.
Warning, 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 warning.
This is a Menacy Broadcast. Code Red, Code Red, Code Red, here we are. Pick up your iPads, your cell phones, and hang me and listen to Uncle the Podcast. Watch out. If you're sitting down for this, or if you're standing up, you better get ready for this, because it's going to hit the eardrums. Uncle the Broadcast.
You are listening to Uncle the Broadcast. My name's Aaron. I'm the nephew-in-law. Here with me is the star of the show, Uncle.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. We are at 285. We're getting there, people. We're getting there.
Boy, we're nearly there. I can't wait till
nearly there. We
make it to that point. It's going to be a good day when that happens.
Well,
right now, we're just here, range. Though.
The 300 range I'm after.
300, yes. We're well within it, Uncle.
So who's on that line, and let's get them rolling there, Chucky.
We're live on Ocelli.com. This is Uncle the Podcast. You can call in every Sunday when we're live. The call number is 319-527-5016. You can also come on through Skype, send Chuck a message, type him a message on Skype. He's Charles.Ocelli, or call 319-527-5016. Uncle, this is your show.
Yeah.
This is say?
My show. So.
That's good, right?
Yeah.
It's a good
What's
thing.
Happening out there, people? What about those eagles? Do we have any eagle fans on the show? I want to know about those eagles.
Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah. The Eagles are going to take it and run. The 49ers out of town next week.
Most likely, yes. Yeah, I don't see the 49ers, who are slotted to play against the Eagles in the NFC Championship game next week.
Yeah.
I don't see the 49ers winning that one, which I feel good about. I want them to lose that.
Yeah, I think they will because they said
last week, after they got done with the other team, they mentioned bring anybody on. It don't matter who they want.
Oh, Uncle, Count Pupper is in the chat room, and he's saying go Birds.
Oh, well, we got a fan. Let's get that Pumper on the line here. Let's go, Pumper.
Call up.
I'm talking sports tonight.
You know the number. Sing the praises of Jalen Hurts. We want to know. We want to know all about it. We're happy to hear it. I'm happy as a Pennsylvanian to see the Eagles doing well. They've had many years of sorrow, so it's good. I bet they won the Super Bowl a couple years back, but still, you know.
I have a feeling I have a torch tip on the winning team that's going to win it.
The Super Bowl.
The Super Bowl. Okay. The experience in the AFC had been there last year. But they took care of the big Bills tonight.
Oh, yes.
And they're going to be playing Kansas City. Oh, what's his name?
Mahomes?
Mahomes. I got to get what's his name on this line. Talk to
Cooley
and ask him what is his standings on the quarterback situation.
Yes. So, listeners,
if
know,
you're on there,
Cooley Digital, frequent caller of the show. He is a big Kansas City Chiefs fan. Always has been, always will be. So he must be concerned about the medical assessments
of him,
Patrick Mahomes, right now.
He sustained
an injury today.
Bad, but.
It was an ankle injury. Nothing.
High screen.
What? It was ice cream? He ate ice cream?
No, not ice cream. Oh. High screen.
Okay.
We're learning these things.
Okay.
For a second,
it sounded like he was having like a little relaxation out on the field. Nice ice cream cone, maybe.
Ice cream.
Waffle cone would be nice.
We're talking.
Take a break for a second. Jeez.
High sprain.
Oh, high sprain. Yes.
I mentioned. He has a high sprain.
Okay. Nobody wants one of them.
Yeah. That's what he has. That's his injury.
Yeah.
Let him know.
So, I can't imagine anybody wishing ill will on Patrick Mahomes. He seems like a cool guy. So, I think everybody wants to see him get better.
Yeah.
And also, it's in the viewing public's interest to see a good game played. So, if he's in good health, that's going to make that more likely. So, we'll see.
Yeah. But I seem to let Mr. Cool collect Cincinnati quarterback. He's very cool the way he plays. I've watched him.
Uncle, we're getting
We got a call on?
Well, it's a strange request for a call from what I gather here. It looks like Creative Accidents, who we know.
Crazy Accidents. Get him on the line. I want him to speak.
Well, the problem is he's not going to call in, but he's requesting that you, Uncle, ask somebody to call in.
Ready for somebody to call in.
It's specific.
Waiting on the call. You know the numbers.
He says ask Katie in Texas to call in.
Katie in Texas.
No, that's the town. That's the town, Aaron. Katy, Texas. Katy. I don't know if that's.
Oh, okay. So, yes, I've heard of that place. Yes,
yeah.
I forgot. So, whoever you are in Katy, Texas, call in.
Oh, yeah.
If you're able to. Caddy. 319-527-5016 is the number. We'd like to hear from you. Also, you can
Oh, he's bouncing the ball again. I hear him in the crack room.
The bouncing ball?
Bouncing ball in the crack room. Mm-hmm. They're cracking it up. Telephone call. Here's our first call of the night. Right. Who is it and where are you from?
Caller, you're on.
Oh, it's Jimmy James.
Jimmy boy!
Yeah,
who would have thought he'd be the first one to call? We were talking just a minute ago before the callers about playoff positions. But
we were
having this conversation.
Did you watch the playoff games tonight, Jimmy?
Jimmy, did you see the playoff game today?
I've seen the 49ers win.
Okay.
You seen that game?
You have any opinions on that? Do you care? Do you don't care?
You have opinions.
The 49ers are going to the bowl.
Oh, you think they'll beat the Eagles?
You think they're going to beat the Eagles?
I do.
Unless it's a defensive game. That depends on what
that's
kind
how
of
the Eagles would lose, Uncle.
Well, that's the way they won today.
Yes.
Or with Dallas, they couldn't stop them. They couldn't get a touchdown.
Yeah, there weren't a lot of those.
That's the problem. That's if they have that problem.
And the other game I watched was the Chiefs yesterday. That's about all the games I've watched lately.
Okay. Okay, so you got two of the divisional.
What do you think about Mahomes that I had that discussion? I've been his had his injury. High sprain.
Yeah, I think he's out.
Okay, so
you think he won't be playing?
The injury will take him out for the rest of the postseason here, huh?
You think so?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. But didn't that young guy they sent in, he did pretty good, didn't he?
He did fair.
I'd say fair. Yeah. Not as good, but fair.
He did good enough.
Ever bat for a backup, he did pretty fair, I'd say. Because the way he was running, they got him on the running and stuff. But I think the key is him, though, in the offensive line.
Mahomes is the key
of the offensive line. But, though, if he's not going to be able to go, then I don't know. I don't know how that's going
to
fall.
We'll see. Yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, yeah, they're going to have trouble beating the Cincinnati Bengals.
With the Cincinnati Bengals playing them.
I don't, because they lost with him last year, so.
They did?
The same game, yeah. It was the same divisional championship game, same two teams.
They were?
Yeah, because the Bengals ended up winning, and then they played the Rams in the Super Bowl.
Is that how it happened? I didn't know how it happened.
Somehow they did.
So they played them. I didn't realize who they were playing before that.
Yeah. That's how it worked out last year. I don't know if it'll be the same conclusion this year, but it looks like likely on that side of the AFC coin, yeah.
Oh.
And I think the Eagles are going to win, I do. So.
I think.
Which I'd like them. I want them to go the rest of the way when it comes to the rest of the teams. I like Cincinnati kind of too. Not against the Rams, but overall, and not against the Eagles.
Now you got choice because that's your team. You get your home team, and you're running around saying, well, last year it was our Rams. You're in that boat, so to say.
Well, yeah, I mean, whenever your first option is gone, you always are. There's always, you know, a hierarchy there, isn't there?
Yeah.
What do you say,
Jim? I want to thank your Rams a lot because those buttholes are the reason the Lions didn't get to advance. We did our part. We won all the games. The stupid Rams had to lose.
Oh, that's right. That point, you guys took you up because we had to play. Who did we have to win?
You're talking about
Seattle.
Yeah,
it was Seahawks.
Of all times. All we needed was for them to win that one game. Come on, man.
You're right. Yes, I remember that.
The Rams can't be expected to win any games this year, so.
They
barely did. So.
They barely.
We gave you Stafford. How much more can we do?
They were sad, stupid, wins the Super Bowl, the following year and then goes there and only win 5 games. I counted them. Wow. 5 games this whole year. Wow. And that is a sorry team feeling you're saying because after winning the following year Super Bowl. Wow. Man, that makes sense. I see why his name was deciding to leave. I see why now.
I'll tell you what, bud. When Stafford just started, we literally went from our perfect season, meaning we lost every single game, and then he came along, and we won the first all of the practice games, and then we won 5 games right out of the bat. So everyone's like, oh, we're on a 10-game winning streak. And, man, we were psyched. And then, of course, he started blowing it.
I mean, Detroit is set up to be good next year, though. I mean, wouldn't you say, Jimmy? They seem like they're doing well.
I don't know what happened. Everyone's giving the credit to this supposed coordinator, but I have to think Goff has to have a lot to do with this.
Goff is doing well. I think he's found his place, which I feel good about. I wish him success.
Person on the line here.
So we got another call.
Hold on, Jimmy. Who's on the line and where are you from?
Hey, Uncle, it's the Count.
Oh, there he is.
The true Philly man.
We were talking tonight about playoff operations. I figured that's what we're talking about.
I wanted the Cowboys to win because I feel like Eagles would have a better chance of winning against them. They're going to have a struggle against the 49ers.
Yeah, the
Cowgirls lost today, so they're gone. The Niners just whooped their butt.
I was hoping, barely. The Niners, of course, won, unfortunately. But
what I've heard...
That's what I'm saying. They're going to have a struggle against them.
When I was listening to the Phillies broadcast, when the lady talked to them, they said, bring any one of them. Bring either one of them. It didn't matter to them.
I'm being realistic about it.
Well, what's realistic? Just having a defense.
I just think it's going to be a struggle.
Unless it's a
defense. I think it's going to be a good game.
Unless it's a defensive game like today was.
Uncle, we got another caller.
Oh, yes, we have another caller. Hold that thought.
Count and Jimmy, hang on. We'll be back.
Who's on this line? Where are you calling from?
This is Caddy from Texas.
Oh, Caddy.
Oh, it is Caddy. There you go.
Caddy.
It's the actual name of the caller.
Ah.
Take that, everybody.
Everybody's wrong. I think Joe Burrow's going to take it all. He's going to bring the Super Bowl home.
Oh, boy, that's a very good point because they were there last year.
And they played well today.
They did play good. That's a very good possibility. We could be wrong of thinking about this. But is the AFC stronger than the NFC? That is our question tonight.
That's why they have a Super Bowl.
I don't know, but that's what she says.
So you're a Bengals fan, Caddy?
She's a Bengal fan, right?
No, I'm a Joe Burrow fan.
Okay, Joe Cool. Joe Cool, Uncle.
Oh, that's – I had a – I know he's very, very smart, my quarterback. But why he went there? I know why he went there.
Oh yeah, he's from Cincinnati, isn't he? He's from Ohio.
He's from there. That's why he wanted Cincinnati to go to them.
That was the reason. That's similar to LeBron James of basketball in Ohio, Cleveland. He did that same similar thing. You got to respect that. That's cool.
Yeah, I could understand it. Of course, my sister, she's she was hoping to go to the Dolphins at the time, but then after that deciding saying he's from there, he wasn't going to the other place.
I want to go back to Count.
Count.
Count Popper. What if the Eagles were pitted up against the Cincinnati Bengals? What would you think of that?
Oh, yeah. What would you think of that?
I think I put this in the chat. I think the 49ers, Bengals, and Eagles are all just really good this year. And I don't know. as a Super Bowl, it'd be great.
Yeah. I think it would be good.
All three of them are excellent.
I think it'd be a great game.
I would put it any three of them teams that I would mention could go. It's any of them three that we mentioned.
I hope it's the Eagles, obviously.
Well,
yeah, I'm pulling for the Eagles.
Well, I know he's a home fan. He's a home fan for the Eagle fan. I know he's, because he's from Pennsylvania, so I can see that too. So I kick here.
Indeed.
I just want it to be a good, interesting game, because sometimes you have a stinker of a Super Bowl. So it's good and intense.
What would you count as if it's a defensive game? Just curiosity.
As in who would win?
Yeah, and it would go slower in the contest.
It depends on how it goes.
That's my point.
You can have a good defensive game. You can have a good offensive game. I mean, the game last night, the Eagles went so fast.
That was the only game on that series was actually a blowout of all the games. The blowout game.
That's what makes the Eagles look so good, is that they just performed like that.
Performed as a blowout. But
I want to go back to Caddy. Do you know Creative Accents? Are you friends with Creative Accents?
Yeah.
You do? Okay, cool.
Oh, you know him. All right. You know Crazy Accents. Can you ask me a favor? Can you ask him a favor? Why is he never talking on the phone? I would like to hear him once in a while. He never gets on the phone. What's with him?
That's something. Request for him to call in?
Done. Then I keep asking him.
On this show, yes, the regular request goes out that Crazy Accents call in. That's what Uncle's always asking. But
I never hear him call him.
Uncle, I think this is a Crazy Accidents called by proxy. I think maybe we could call it that. Is that okay?
Oh, is that okay?
Am I making assumptions? Is this bad? Am I being a bad person?
Uncle, what did you think of the Cowboys kicker?
Oh, I should have got rid of him. They should have not even kicked the field goal. The latest one of field goals, man, he missed. But he did score, but he did two good ones tonight. But before that.
One was blocked.
Yeah, but one was blocked. But the thing is, they do got a new, they do got another kicker. What I didn't understand, use him tonight. That's what I want. Yeah, why didn't they use that kicker that they got? Man, they only lost that game by 7, just like the one earlier, but still could have at least came closer.
I wanted them to win, which I usually don't want the Cowboys to win, but in this case I did. I didn't think they would, and they didn't.
That was a close game for 7 points, though. It wasn't a blower like we usually see a ball game.
It was close, yeah. So they proved that they're pretty good. The Cowboys are pretty good. They just weren't good enough.
They tried.
Yeah.
They did. They get the trial.
The Cowboy folks, though, are probably eating soup, wondering what's going to happen next year.
They're pointing at Ezekiel Elliott. They're eating that soup that Ezekiel Elliott
this kind of thing.
Whatever that means.
Whatever it means in the sign. I don't know what it means, but he keeps doing that.
Do you know that, Caddy, the Ezekiel Elliott?
Yeah.
No? I'm going to go to Jimmy. Jimmy. You've seen Ezekiel Elliott do the soup eating thing, right, Jimmy?
Seen what soup?
Ezekiel Elliott, the running back for the Cowboys, and even when he played in college at LSU. No, when he's playing, he'll get up like after a play and then he'll like move his hand like he's holding a spoon and he's eating soup or
something. He was from a Gator. He was a Gator, not an LSU.
He was OSU. He played for the Ohio State University.
Oh, he did?
Yes, he did.
Oh, I
thought it was. I thought it was.
He was trying to get a Campbell's contract like those other football players.
Oh. Whoa.
I'm just glad nobody knows what the heck he's doing. I just don't understand that. I think it's interesting. I think it's cool that he has a signature or whatever that is.
It's a good, interesting thing. It's a sign of something, but I just don't understand what it is.
It's going to continue to be an enigma, Uncle. I like the mystery he's putting out into the world.
Yeah.
It's very David Lynch-like of him. It's like watching a David Lynch movie, but no, it's a Dallas Cowboys game. Ooh.
Oh, I messed up. Uncle, that song, remember you were asking about the aliens and why they always got those doobies?
Oh, yeah, what was that?
I foolishly said that the song was Martian Cigarettes. No. It's called The Martian Boogie, Brownsville Station.
Yeah, I heard that song.
Okay, Martian Boogie.
Martian Boogie. I think I heard that somewhere.
Space Grass by Clutch, the band Clutch.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my.
In fact, I was listening before the show, Elton John songs on my phone. I've been with my new earphone poppers.
Goodbye, Yellow Brick Road.
Not that one. All of his songs.
Rocket Man?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that he was the singer for Sad Song Say So Much. I remember when that song came out, I didn't even realize it was him.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
That's not Elton John jam, Uncle? What is it?
Yeah.
Who did that song?
What was that? The Beatles.
The Beatles?
The one Beatles guy.
Ringo Starr.
No, I'm telling you, it was Elton John.
No, it was not Elton John. It was a Beatle guy.
George Harrison.
George Harrison.
Sad song say so much? Nah, I don't think so. Sad song say so much.
Yeah, it was a Beatle singer that's living now still. And
Beatles singer is still living. That narrows it down.
We're
talking about Paul McCartney.
Yeah, that's him. That was him. Paul McCartney. I think it was him singing that. Who's that in the background?
He might have wrote it, but I could have sworn it. Nah, because I remember looking up recently, and I was like, oh, that's weird. I really liked an Elton John song. It didn't
but the Elton John song, I understand. I know his songs.
Sad Song Say So Much was an Elton John song, Uncle.
Oh, it was?
Yeah, it was.
Dang,
I just put a video in the chat room, just for everybody to see.
Chat room? Oh, no.
Elton John jam, Uncle.
Got the evidence. Back it up.
Oh, dang.
But the
crack room.
A song with him and another song like that song.
You're telling me Paul McCartney had a song?
Are you thinking of Say, Say, Say? Are you thinking of Say?
Yeah, that's one.
So that's with Michael Jackson, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay,
Was it Jackson or was it...
No, it's Michael Jackson and Paul McCartney.
Oh, yeah, that must have been what I was thinking of.
I remember the music video vividly. They did a thing where they were part of a medicine show going around selling snake oil.
Right.
Yeah.
I forgot all these songs. It was just, I thought it was that guy singing that song, but...
It's the 80s, Uncle. We're lucky we lived through it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, this brings up a very important question that we have to get our callers involved in.
What is that?
Mandela effect.
Oh, Count Pupper.
Count Pupper, which is the best Beatle, is it Paul, George, Ringo, John, or could it even be Elton John? Which one is the best one?
I'm a George Harrison guy.
Oh, no! Okay.
George Harrison, yeah, he's... Okay.
I gotta disagree, since I've been
I guess not.
I got to disagree on one person that was a very good singer.
Ringo.
Elton John. I mean, John Lennon.
So Elton John
John Lennon.
Uncle, you know we're going to bring this back around to Elton John being the best Beatle. You know that, right?
Elton John had played a very good song because I was 58. I was before... I was listening to all their songs of the Beatles. Uh-huh. You, in fact, weren't born yet. So I know.
Not quite.
Yeah, but I was. And I know.
I was thinking about it.
But I known about my Beatles.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And I know Elton, I know John Lennon, excuse me, with Yo-Ho.
Yo-Ho, yeah.
What was
the
name?
Other Beatle, yeah.
The other Beatle.
Yes, we know who's
And they were very good.
Oh, they were great. Let's go to the other callers because I want to.
Oh yeah,
have to say.
Other callers.
We'll go to Caddy.
Caddy.
Who's the best Beatle?
Who's the best Beatle? And here we are talking about this him.
Caddy, you with us still?
Are you there? What happened?
Well, maybe we lost. We may have lost Caddy.
What happened?
I want to thank Caddy for calling in. First of all.
Yeah. Yes, we did. We did lose Caddy. I just found out. I don't know. She might have hung up. You know, how about I have a special vote for the best Beatle.
Ooh, okay.
We're fighting over John Lennon and whatever he's thinking. I don't know what.
Ready? Clarence Walker.
Clarence Walker?
Never heard of him. I never heard of him. I'm 158.
We're going all 80s references. Okay, so on Saturday night.
This is not right.
On Saturday Night Live, Eddie Murphy did a bit where he was the fifth Beatle and he was a sax player. Did you ever see it?
No. Was
he? And he was Clarence Walker and they edited him into the films. That's right. I wrote all the Beatles songs. She Loves You? Well, She Loves You, Man. You never saw that?
No.
I don't remember that bit. I've seen a lot of the old Eddie Murphy.
I assure you it happened.
Yeah.
I believe it, yeah.
I'm Gumby.
Yeah, the Gumby. I remember the Gumby, yes.
Who?
Yes.
I'm Gumby, you bastard.
Yeah, yeah, that was such a weird bit, the Gumby thing. Yeah, it was... Yeah, that was an odd time for SNL, but I mean, definitely, Eddie Murphy was the standout at that period.
Eddie Murphy.
Also as Buckwheat.
And guess what? You know, when he went on that show, guess how old he was, Aaron?
I want to say he was probably in his 20s.
I think
right?
He was 20 years old, wasn't he?
20?
19 years old.
Sorry.
He went on there like he owned it, and he just one of them guys that got just had it.
Mm-hmm.
He just took off.
He was the star.
But do you remember that bit where he was Clarence, the fifth Beatle?
Yes.
The fifth Beatle?
That's right.
Four Beatles at the
I
time.
I swear to you. Well, there's always this debate about the fifth Beatle. There's a DJ who says he was the fifth Beatle. There's another guy. You know, they always say, like, they were a help to the band or whatever, so they're the fifth Beatle.
Not in my book.
No, I understand.
I saw them walk in the street with four of them walking the street. Where's the fifth one?
You talk about the cover of Abbey Road.
Yeah, that's it. Cabby Road. I'm listening to Cabby Road. I'm looking at Cabby Road. I see four of them. Where was the fifth one?
The fifth one was the cabbie in Cabby Road driving the cab in the background. That maybe was the fifth Beatle.
Yeah, I mean, but he doesn't show himself.
I mean, let's not forget Pho McCartney, for God's sake.
No, he was the main star.
No, I'm talking about Pho McCartney.
Who was Pho McCartney now?
Pho McCartney was right.
How he was wearing shoes in that photo.
I know.
Come on, man, we all know.
Pho McCartney was the first star of the Beatles. I know Paul McCartney.
That's exactly right, Uncle.
And he was the first Beatle.
Yes.
I've been around, and I know that. Yeah. I can tell my sister right now, and she'll agree with me that it was him that started the Beatles system.
He started the system, okay.
Yeah, she knows. She has a lot of
Uncle, historically, I would have said John Lennon was my favorite Beatle because
it is to me.
Everyone said John Lennon was the best Beatle.
I'd
but now I'm kind of a Ringo man. I'm more of a Ringo dude.
No, wait a minute. Ringo,
I like it.
That's wait a minute. Ringo like was the drummer.
He was.
And he's still alive.
He is.
And
he's a good drummer.
I forgot about him.
He's the only living Beatle because the only other living one is Phil McCartney.
Yeah, he was the other one.
Phil McCartney.
Phil McCartney.
Second Paul.
Right. Thank you.
Second Paul. What's the first Paul?
Everybody knows.
We're trying to tell you the truth right now.
I'm trying to find out who's the first Paul. I'm sitting there. I've been sitting there.
First Paul died.
The clues are all on the album. And look at his feet. You got to look at his feet when they're going across the Abbey Road. You'll see one doesn't have shoes.
You guys lost me now. I'm there listening to Beatles since I was born, 58. And I known there was four of them at the time. But the head one
I'll send you a link to Jim Fetzer. He's got a really good presentation on this.
He does?
Does Spencer get into the Phil McCartney business? Does he do that?
Oh, yeah. The whole Paul is dead thing?
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
Oh, he does? Let me have that conversation, because I have to see what this is about.
Yeah, maybe we can dive down that
That way and see what this is all about, because here we are talking the Beatles tonight. Now, this is interesting, though.
That's right. Gotta love them. Gotta love
them. No.
Yes. Let's see here. I guess, after all, Elton John wasn't the best Beatle. I was really hoping he would end up being that.
He was never a Beatle.
Yeah, I know, but does...
But they gave him some songs for Beatles songs to sing.
Okay.
Now, that may be what happened.
It's like getting an honorary degree.
Right. Something like that.
Similar to that.
Yeah.
Or in...
Kind of like how Billy Joel was the seventh Beatle.
Oh no, he don't like Billy Joel. Forget him.
I don't care for Billy Joel.
He don't like sidekick. It's not like Billy Joel.
Not
I can tell you that.
Uptown girl living in an uptown world.
Something like that. That's usually the song.
Yeah. Tell me.
I don't understand why you didn't like him. I don't understand. That's his music.
I don't know. When somebody explains why he's so great, I mean, I'm willing to hear the argument, but I don't think I'm going to change my opinion.
He's the piano man.
He is. I'll give him that. I'm not getting.
Well, yes, he's a piano fella. That you got to give him that.
He plays the piano.
He can play that.
He can play. He knows how to play it. I'm not saying he doesn't.
I just don't. I guess it's the kind of people that what kind of songs. People like That's really cool. These days it's been in the 80s and a lot of these 80 people that are born 80 love the 80 music, you see.
It's getting
people that were born in the 60s or under love the 60 music like I do.
They tend to.
It's just the way it is.
It's called musical bias, Uncle.
What is that?
Musical bias.
Musical bias. Whatever that's one.
It's probably a real thing. I don't think I just made it up.
We could both agree that pretty much. Could we agree that anyone born after 1979 don't know their heads from their asses?
You can put, but that's because it's before the 80s. 79 is just before the 80s.
Right.
Frank, what kind of music you like, Jimmy? What kind of music you like talking about music these days?
I like country, I like classic rock, and I like hard rock. I'm really honestly, it's a song-to-song basis. I don't care about genre. Even if I like it, either I like it or I don't like it.
Oh, I was just wondering because since we're on that subject, I was asking people who don't know what year they've been born to know what kind of music they
count. First of all, what's your musical bias?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll say that my favorite band of all time is Pink Floyd.
Pink Floyd.
And
Pink
the Beatles Floyd. Is number two.
Okay, all right. So you're a true Beatles fan. Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah, that's
one. And he likes Ringo. So that's interesting.
That's a good point. Am I trying to get to that point?
I don't dislike Ringo.
No.
I don't. But Count.
Cool.
Count, what's your musical bias, and perhaps what's your favorite band?
Musical bias. Lately I've been listening to Japanese city pop, which is insane, from the 80s and 70s. Mm. There's a lot of that on the archive, Internet Archive.
Cool.
But I'm a big glam rock guy. I love David Bowie and Brian Eno.
I do like one song of Dave Bowie, though. That one about hush, hush. Girl sings hush, hush.
You talking about that Deep Purple song?
No, no. Dave Bowie sings it.
Hush, hush. Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun. You know that song right there, Count?
It's a song
that he sings, and he says...
He says hush?
Says...
He says hush?
The girl says hush in the song.
Oh, is there a female vocalist singing with him, like a duet or something?
Yeah.
I don't recall it.
I heard it on the phone. I hear something like that. With him talking.
Hush, yes. Hush. It's not a Deep Purple song. It's David Bowie. Hush, hush.
I mean, I like Deep Purple and Rainbow. I like Dio.
Oh, I love Dio.
Oh, that Dio. That's that guy with the hat, funny looking hat.
Sometimes.
Oh, no, that's Flash. That.
You're talking about something.
Flash has the funny hat.
Dio is the very minuscule man with the large booming vocals, with the heavy metal vocalist. Yeah.
And he invented the devil horns.
He did. You should be proud of himself. I love Dio's. His songs are good. They're downright good. The lyrics are...
They sure are.
They're good. I mean, everything about it is good. So I don't have anything bad to say about Dio. Ronnie James. I guess there's a new documentary about him on some streaming platform. I haven't seen it, but I should try to dig that one up.
I'll look for it.
But by the bystanders... We are getting out of the TV program football thing. We are going to do a different kind of thing. Much cheaper, too.
We're having music time. Whoa. Music talk.
Oh, you're talking... Yeah. The podcast has drifted from NFL to music right now.
Well, I know.
The chat room was saying, I thought this was Comedy Hour, not Sports Hour.
Yeah. This is Comedy Hour, but... I'm lost of what I want to talk about comedy at. Anybody let me know.
The chat room doesn't seem too happy when we move into sports territory, Uncle. That's the chat room.
Dang.
Well, what do they want to talk? Give me something I can talk about a comedy then, chat room.
Just for the record, Ronnie James Dio.
All right, here's a joke. The Brittany Griner trade, the first and last WNBA trade that anyone will ever notice.
Nice. What does that come? That's basketball now.
That's sports. Yeah. That's
sports.
So that's
we're talking about
sports.
Comedy show.
He was telling a joke, though.
Oh.
So he's best of both worlds.
I'm getting slow to know what anybody can call in and say something about a comedy. Let me hear it.
Well, I watched that Banshees movie on HBO.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen this yet?
I don't
the
even
Banshees
know.
Banshees of Inishire?
No.
No.
It's Colin Farrell and Brendan Gleeson.
I gotta go look
at that. It's a great comedy. It's dark, but it's really good.
I like dark comedy.
Dark comedy.
Yes.
Where was the shows that I'm supposed to see? You never show me. We haven't got it to see.
I know about this, Uncle Ed. We're learning from Count Pupper.
If you have HBO, I mean, I would suggest watching it.
I have HBO screening in my, on my,
yeah,
in my room.
Yeah, it'll be on there.
I can look it up.
It'll be on there.
I can look it up.
I think the Dio documentary is on Showtime, by the way. And he had several music careers, not just as a heavy metal artist. Yeah.
Okay, well, there you go. Yeah. That's, I'm sure that comes down to documentary. I would like to learn that. I know his heavy metal work.
We got to get into the... They said Showtime. I mean, I don't know what I'm saying.
I like that Dio was an American. He took over two British bands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I always found it fascinating that he was able to like be the new vocal for Black Sabbath and get away with it, and people didn't like run him out of town. That didn't happen to him at all. The fact that he pulled that off is, I feel that's astonishing.
Well, that's not entirely true though, Aaron.
I think so.
You think he got a lot of flack, Chuck?
At,
did you say
at
he
first,
got a lot of grief for that?
At first, they gave him a lot of grief. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, Black Sabbath.
I wasn't around then, so.
I was.
Well,
and,
of course, Judas Gay, I can't help but say, look, he's no Ozzy. Sorry.
Oh, of course.
Well, they're different. That's a thing. But, like, how do you really take over for Ozzy? But I feel like he pulled it off as well as anybody was going to. Like, how do you even do that?
Well, they should have changed the name of the band. It's kind of like White Zombie. I mean, after the chick died and they broke up, he just came up with a new thing.
Black Sabbath had several vocalists, by the way. So, first with Ozzy, then with Dio, then with Ian Gillan from Deep Purple, then after that, Jeff Nichols.
Deep Purple. I remember that song. I haven't listened to Deep Purple.
Yep.
I know some Deep Purple songs.
Well, Ian Gillan did one album.
They're great.
Ian Gillan did one album with Black Sabbath. It was called Born Again. And then Jeff Nichols, who was also part of Deep Purple at one point, was a keyboard player and vocalist, took over. And then they ended up with a short time with Ray Gillan, Tony Martin, and they ended their run and, you know, retired the Black Sabbath name with Ozzy returning to the band.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Didn't they have the deal where there was, like, at one point more than one of the singers on stage with them for some show or something?
Ozzy Osbourne's alleged retirement show in 92, which he didn't retire at, they asked the Dio version of Sabbath to come and play because they were doing the reunion tour for Dehumanizer, and Dio refused to play. He left the band, so Rob Halford stepped in at the Costa Mesa Arena in California.
Oh, wow. Rob Halford, that's interesting.
Rob Halford did those two dates with Black Sabbath.
So you're saying then the bands that were having these problems have been having problems?
Oh, yeah, they definitely had problems, and it was supposed to be a big show to, like, honor Ozzy, and Dio said no, and so he quit.
I thought at some point they did perform together, though. It might have been after that.
Not that I've ever seen. Far as I know, all the way up to Dio's death, he was pretty resentful of Ozzy Osbourne.
Really? He was resentful?
Okay, because I thought at some point they had sort of made up, but you might be right.
Well, the rest of the band made up with Ozzy. But Dio...
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, Dio got back together with them in 92, did the Dehumanizer thing, and then left. Came back again, but then Tony Iommi didn't own the name Black Sabbath anymore, so they toured under the name Heaven and Hell. That was in the early 2000s.
Yeah, this happens to a lot of bands. Who gets the name, who tours is what. Yeah, that happens a lot.
That's hey, I haven't heard your buddy band that's been retired now. Sidekick?
Do I know any bands that are retired?
No, the one that your friend.
You talking about Dr. Dog?
Dr. Dog. I haven't heard much of him.
They have hung up the tour hat, that's for sure.
Oh,
they might
telephone call. Hold on here. Who's on this line here? Who are you calling from?
Caller,
hey, is this Uncle?
It's me.
Hey, Uncle, it's Chris Graves. How you doing? It's good to hear you back again.
Oh, yeah, we're back.
Glad to have you back here, Chris.
Yep, Chris. We're back.
We're back.
Anybody Got any news about the wrestling people talk?
I don't have a wrestler for you, but I will tell you something strange.
This guy.
Well, hang on a second. I'll tell you. Yeah, let him go over that in a second, because I'll tell you something weird before he says anything. You know, I was having a conversation with Chris Graves off air only a couple hours ago, and I had to go through this very same family tree of Black Sabbath with him.
I thought it was our conversation, and you were playing it live. I'm dead serious. And I was like, oh, my God, he taped me.
I didn't, though.
No joke.
But I didn't.
Same thing.
I literally had to go through this very same explanation with him on the phone earlier.
That is odd.
That is crazy.
Really weird. Anyway, I'll shut up now. You can ask about the wrestlers. Sorry.
I mean, when you're talking about great bands, they're going to come up.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Well, let me think. You got Jericho, right? He's in a band, rock and roll and everything, and he's a wrestler and an actor, and, yeah. I don't know if I can get him, but,
Are you working on anyone? Yeah, just to mention.
Yeah, yeah. Any leads?
I was before. I'll be honest with you. You're gonna hate me, Uncle, and I apologize, but I kind of forgot about it. And shame on me. So I'll step back up.
It was because of New Year's drinking. That gets there.
No, I wish it was. I ate a little too much sugar and went into a diabetic coma. No, I didn't do that, but it was close. You know,
I've been into those. Don't be serious. It's serious. Uncle those Uncle things Uncle. Are serious. I'm laying in.
No, I know. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. You're going like that. I've been in them. I've been in before I had these pills. Let me tell you.
Well,
I've been in.
Well, Uncle, who would you want me to shoot for? What wrestler would you want me to try to my best to get for you?
I would like to get the guy that has a podcast. What was his name?
There's a couple of them, actually.
No, there wasn't.
You're talking about Stone Cold Steve Austin?
Who?
Is that Stone Cold?
Stone Cold. Try to work on him.
There you go.
All right, I'm going to say that's a tall order, but you know what? Would you settle for Jerry Lawler, maybe? Because I know someone that knows him, Jerry the King Lawler. Remember him? I'll shoot for Stone Cold, but...
Yeah, we could try him, too.
I think
either or, anybody that you can find that would want to talk on my show.
The Honky Tonk Man, Coco Beware, the Bird Man.
Oh, yeah, the Bird Man. The guy that hits the post, eats the post. What's his name?
Oh, yeah, Georgie Emil Steele, right?
They'll help me steal, if you get him. I like to know
one of the Bushwhackers.
Yeah, one of the Bushwhackers.
Which also did the same bit.
Well, I have the Bush's contact info, but I don't know if are you talking about George or Jeb or who are you talking about?
Whoever's
Marvin?
Whoever's available. It's like I said.
We'll go for Marvin. He was supposed to have dinner with Hinckley's brother there. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
So how was your vacation?
What vacation?
What vacation? They've been working at the house.
We've been working at
the house. They're working, getting it done. That's what I'm hearing.
I stand corrected. I meant, how was your on-air vacation? That's what I meant. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's fine. It was nice to not have to do the show a little bit. It's always good to be back. But yeah, I've been busy. Things overall are well. And I'm not going to complain. Things are overall pretty good.
We are getting close to the point of renting. But what we're going to do, I got to go out there, co-op the second brain in there, and tell him we're going to do a show about putting the post of the second half on of the post. The posting. So you're...
Oh, you're talking about the Super Bowl? The halftime show?
No, not the football. With the fence.
Yeah, I've been building a fence out in the desert. I've been digging up the sand, digging those 4-foot holes.
Oh, you guys still live on that UFO in the desert, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Saucer?
Yep. That's coming along pretty good.
Yeah, that is awesome. Yeah, have you guys ever seen those old houses from the 60s that were in the shape of saucers?
You're building a wall? Don't you know that's wrong?
No, not a wall, a fence.
Jimmy, it's fine. We're going to get another country to pay for it, so therefore it's great.
Oh, offset. Okay, okay.
I'm going
to
get
Liberia to pay.
I was hoping Canada would pay for it. That's my little pet wish, is that Canada will pay for the fence.
Blame Canada. Why not blame Canada, those Canucks?
Oh, no, he's a Canuck now. Watch out.
Well, I just looked at the time. I realized we're nearly done here. We're
nearly time. Yeah, we have too much Zoom talking.
I know. I agree. I don't even know if we have time for shout outs here. It looks like probably, well, we might be able to whip through them. You want to whip through some shout outs, Uncle?
Yeah, let's throw some shout outs to the judge. Shout out, whoever called first, go ahead.
That would be Jimmy. So, Jimmy, who you want to shout out to tonight?
I'm having too much fun.
Boy, I'm a spot. Mm-hmm. I'm a spot, Jim. Well, I guess I'll just shout out to everyone in Ocelli Effect Land. And if you can, try to subscribe to the shows to help everyone out that produces them. I hope everyone had a good weekend and has a good week. Bye.
Thanks, Jimmy. Thanks for calling. All right, good shout-outs. Then the next was Count Pupper.
He has the lineup because I don't know who was the first or second or third.
I don't know.
They were ringing off the hook.
Who are you going to shout-out to this week?
Yeah, I'm going to shout-out to the Eagles, Go Birds, and I'll shout-out to myself, Count Pupper on Twitch. Follow me. I've been streaming old movies on there. So until they come after me for copyright.
Oh, that's cool. All right. We'll have to check that out.
Copyright.
Some old classics from the golden age of cinema there.
That was on Showtime. That was on...
That's on Twitch, Uncle.
On Twitch.
Oh, that Twitch.
Right alongside Uncle the Podcast.
I had that Twitch. I can't get that on my phone for some reason.
Well, it's all right. Yeah.
And Uncle, check out the Banshees of Inisherin. I don't know how you say it. It's some Irish crap, but you'll like it.
And it's on HBO, right?
It is. That's right.
I will look it up.
Take care, Count. Thanks for calling in. We'll talk
to you. Call in.
And then we had, let's see here, I don't want to, I think it's just Chris, right? Yeah.
Chris has left.
Yes. Chris, who do you got to shout out to tonight?
Well, I just want to say I want to shout out the makers of the classic Booty Call. And to donate, anyone out there, please donate to Ocelli.com. And you want to know something? Bernie Getz was no Charlie Bronson. Good night, gentlemen.
Good night, Chris. Glad to have you.
Bronson. When did he come from?
Uncle, you got any shout-outs for tonight?
Shout out to everybody that's on the line and giving me a good count number for tonight, and the old star band on the other side of this calls. Very good work. Appreciate what you did.
And quick shout out to Caddy for some caller. Glad to have you. Thanks for calling in. Always glad to have a new voice. Caddy,
Caddy.
Crazy
too.
Accidents caller by proxy, I will add. So thank you for calling.
Thank you
for the audience for listening to us and for hanging in there while we've been gone a couple weeks. We're back. Hello. Good to have you. And shout out to Chuck Ocelli, our producer.
Yeah.
The Ocelli Radio Network. Again, I'd reiterate the calls for help to the network. If you're able to help the network, go to Ocelli.com, send a donation, and begin. And then, our website's UncleThePodcast.com. We're at UnclePodcast on Instagram and Twitter. Uncle, this is the end of the show. Well, there's nothing really there. Why don't you just bring us home, Uncle? We're good.
There's 200 and...
I don't remember. Something.
200 and something.
85.
85 show. Bye-bye.
Hello, this is Aaron Franz, host of The Age of Transitions. I'm just asking potential advertisers out there to come join me. Yes, that's right. You could advertise your product or service on The Age of Transitions radio show and podcast.
you're interested, just get a hold of my producer, Chuck. He'll get you on the line. He'll get you on the Age of Transitions, and we could be helping people together. Your product, your service, and my voice, it's a combo match made in heaven as far as I'm concerned. Reach out to Chuck, the Ocelli Radio Network. We're going to make this thing happen.